Bob Sanborn here on Amplified Houston. Amplified Houston is sponsored by a collaborative of nonprofits here in the Houston area, including Children at Risk, Boys and Girls Club, Baker Ripley, YMCA, and the Houston Food Bank. And what we aim to do with this 30 minutes here in the morning is to give insight into the issues of the day with a perspective on families and children and those served by these leading nonprofit organizations. Today, we're going to be talking about public education. With us in the studio, Capo, who is with the American Federation of Teachers, along with Miss Jackie Anderson with the Houston Federation of Teachers. We're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in SD, the Houston Independent School District. We're also going to be talking about what's going to be happening in the state as we move closer to vouchers. We still fight it, but let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen there. As we talk about public education today, it's important to remember that for many of us, we think about where we started and that it was public education in many ways that was that great equalizer. And in a state where 65% of our kids are growing up in low-income families, where 70% of our children in our public schools are children of color, where a third of our children in the state and half of the children in the Houston area are children of immigrants or immigrants themselves, education continues to be a great equalizer, or it should be a great equalizer. It should be the very thing that lets us beat the odds. And we still have a system that's difficult to beat the odds, but usually education is the way that we do that. And Zef Capo, I've known Zef for a while, many years, American Federation of Teachers. Zef, your perspective, HISD, let's talk about the Houston Independent School District, because we had the state take over the district, and it's probably made public education a bigger topic in Houston than it's been in a long, long time. We have a state-appointed board of managers, a state-appointed superintendent, Mike Miles, who's come in, who's had experience from an elected board in Dallas. He has all sorts of experience with consulting for public schools, Colorado Springs. He was the superintendent there for a while, but it's been a big uproar in Houston. Talk a little bit about the perspective of teachers and Mike Miles and what's going on here, Zef.
Well, you know, there's been a great deal of experience that came into Houston, but not necessarily all experience is good experience. And I think that that is the way most of our teachers really are feeling right now. As a matter of fact, you know, we've heard from people across the country that have had these issues. We had teachers from Dallas that came in to, continue their message. Imagine, he left that district more than 10 years ago. Imagine the level of disrespect that people felt, that it is still a raw issue that they would come down and share with our community in Houston. You know, teachers are busy. They have a lot of work to do every day. They've got their own families to take care of, and that message, and it really became almost like prophecy, because we're seeing exactly what they said from the very beginning starting to really unfold here in Houston. And, you know, we've always been a, you know, tough district. It's a lot to wrap your hands around, but we've always had a great core of teachers, committed individuals working for the best interests of students. And I fear that foundation is about to crack wide open if it's not already.
Miss Jackie Anderson, the Houston Federation of Teachers, when you see what's happening in the Houston Independent School District, what do you attribute it to? You know, we see parents saying they're going to move. We see teachers saying that they are going to leave the district. What do you attribute that to? Is it just the pure leadership of the board and of Mike Miles, or is it more than that?
Well, let me say, I'm very saddened by what I see in HISD. I've worked in HISD over 25 years as an educator, and I'm saddened by the culture that's being manifested in HISD. It's one of fear and intimidation. And when teachers speak up about the lack of instructional material, the lack of quality of the curriculum being something that is helpful to their students that is not meeting the needs of their students. When teachers speak up about special education services not being implemented properly, and they are banished from the classroom, and their voices are silenced, I'm very concerned about what that is doing to students in HISD.
Yeah. Zeph, if you'll allow me, you know, you and I have talked in the past, our education system is not perfect, right? There are a lot of weaknesses in the Houston Independent School District. How could this have been different? First off, I don't think any of us liked the idea of a state-appointed superintendent, right? I mean, but how could this have been different, knowing that we were going to have a state-appointed superintendent and a board? What could they, how could they have used this to their advantage as opposed to where it's walked in terms of what they've walked into? Or were they going to walk into this no matter what? And was it going to be a problem?
You know, I think that they really could have done a much better job of looking at the profile. One of the very similar things that we do or should do in any functioning school system, what is the profile of the type of leader that you need to meet the needs of this particular community? I don't necessarily think that was done. You know, if it was so, that decision was made by someone who didn't necessarily understand our community and what was needed. I think that there would have been a much better reception to some of what is happening and the changes that people wanted to see, if there would have been an attempt to truly build collaboration, build the level of partnership, help people understand what the reason and the rationale was behind it. Would you make decisions off the cuff and you don't bring people in and you don't understand the work that was done, the deep work that was done to build libraries up, not once, but twice, but at least three times since I've been in HISD. If you didn't understand that history, you wouldn't understand the deep level of resentment that people felt by having libraries turned into discipline centers, by having the joy stripped out. When I look at, I've been on campus at Yates High School where that librarian and that library developed safe places for kids to go during break times. And those are oftentimes when kids that don't have the right supports either find themselves in trouble or are left into spots where things can happen. When you don't have that welcoming spot, you could walk in there before and see kids playing chess on technology, reading of their own volition. That is part of what learning is. That is part of what gives the joy of learning. Those are the types of reasons that kids, especially a lot of our kids in HISD, come to school and are willing to go through and do the lessons in math and reading because of those safe spaces that were provided. When those things were taken away without any thought to how are the needs that they were meeting going to be met elsewhere, it really devastated. It devastated those teachers. It devastated the students and left them more vulnerable than they are today.
We're talking with Zeph Capo, who is with the American Federation of Teachers here in Texas, and Ms. Jackie Anderson, who is with the Houston Federation of Teachers. I keep saying Capo, but it's Capo. So I apologize with that. So as long as we don't call you late for dinner, right, then you're okay. So
there you go.
As we talk about education, Jackie, I wonder, you know, there are those that say that HISD needed some change and maybe better for Superintendent Miles come in to make those changes so that when we do a national search and bring in an education superstar as the next superintendent, a lot of the hard work will have been done. But I think I hear other people saying, well, you're not going to get a better person coming in because a lot of damage has been done as well. What's your position? I mean, what do you think is happening in HISD? Will we have a better district for it, or is it going to make the battle even harder?
It's my opinion that the battle will be harder because so many things that were put in that have been put in place, like Zeph said, a lot of the services, the culture, and things that were put in HISD that were better for children that met the needs of our students is being stripped away. And so if someone comes into the district where everything is gone, all the basic foundation, like Zeph said, is cracked. I hope and pray that there's some remnant of HISD left, that we'll get a superintendent who even wants to come into HISD after everything has been stripped away. It's going to be even more difficult for someone to come in and try to help rebuild HISD. Houston has a culture. Being a very diverse city, the district is very diverse. It takes a special person to come into this district and be able to work from A to Z and all points in between and try to meet the needs of all of our students because of this wide diversity in Houston. And I really fear that that is going to be stripped away to the point where we will not be able or would take years to recover.
Ms. Jackie, recently the superintendent threatened, in a sense, to go after some of the magnets and some of the schools that traditionally are very high performing. And you saw a parent revolt that the superintendent, by some standards, amazingly listened to and sort of backed down. What did you make of that sort of that little revolution that you saw on behalf of the parents of magnet students and the reaction of the district?
Well, you know, as you said, we already knew that HISD needed help. We never denied that we weren't a district that needed some supports. We've always said that HISD is a tale of two cities. He came in saying that he was going to end all of that. But what is he doing? He's continuing that saga in HISD. We're going to continue to be a tale of two cities. And a part of that is because of the diversity in this district and the economic diversity in this district. There are just differences. But if you are coming in with the mindset that you're going to level the playing field for all students, why back down when you hear some new faces or new voices come into the picture?
Zeph, what's your take on this?
Well, first and foremost, I think we have to really look at what he said and what his actions truly are. This really was about the principal evaluation tool that he said wasn't going to be used this year. So, well, you know, our principal contracts aren't up until August 31st. The school year is over at the end of June. So what's going to be happening in between? I think everybody should keep their antennas up and continue to monitor and be very vigilant as we move forward. That being said, you know, while I think that we want to work with anybody that really wants to make sure that their schools have what they need to meet their needs, you know, it's a little disconcerting to me that it was okay for the types of practices that he wanted to bring to these magnet schools when they were being applied to other people's children, but somehow they became not what was needed here in these schools. We cannot have that mentality in our district for anybody. If it's not good enough for one kid, it's not good enough for anybody's children. And I hope that everybody can become united in the fact that one around that one piece. If it's not something we want to see for our own kids, we shouldn't want to see it for anyone else's kids. And we need to stand together to make sure that that's a fact. You know, I think that there are some things that certainly need to be done to make changes. We know that poverty matters. You all have done at Children at Risk an extreme amount of work to know that poverty matters. It is probably the biggest driver around test scores and achievement levels for kids and what have you. And this is part of the issue between our magnet schools and these other schools. Not to defend the superintendent at all, because I think the way he went about it is wrong. But it is also the same thing that superintendents have been trying to do in the past. House tried to do it. Richard Carranza tried to do it. Even Terry Greer tried to do it. And he met this brick wall. And that really is a shameful piece when it comes back to our state. And I cannot blame. This is the same issue with parents looking for other programs to meet their kids' needs. I cannot blame them for standing up and fighting when they're going to take away the resources that are needed to make their school stay a high functioning school. But how are we making sure that those other schools have the resources necessary to do it? And a realization that some children that do not have the same experiences may take 2, 3, 4 times the resources as other children who routinely go to museums, go on trips out of state, are able to interact in theater and opera and other places, that are able to participate in after-school soccer leagues. Those are all resources that allow one to have greater context of the world and community that directly relate to what is being tested, our accountability system, and the success or failure that we try to label all of our schools with.
Yeah, very good. And it's interesting, right? I mean, first off, when you're a parent, you are completely selfish. What is best for my child? And I'm going to act out on that. But it would be great to see more of that from more parents sort of reacting at the state level when the state refuses to fund public education in the way it needs to be funded as well, right? I think we need to see more of this, if anything. I want to ask you, Zeph, before we do go to break, there's going to be a call for a bond issue in the Houston Independent School District. And I remember I talked to Superintendent Miles a while back, and I said, you know, you just don't want to make this a referendum on you, right? I love the idea of more money for the schools, but I see it as a hard thing for a district to vote for something that they see as benefiting a group that's appointed by the state, you know? And I wonder from your perspective, can a bond issue that's run by the school district, can that pass in the Houston Independent School District?
Doc, I think you are hitting right at the heart of why he did an about face at this last board meeting. Because when you're looking at 150 new faces of people that you have a pretty darn good idea vote in most every election, you know, at some point, I am sure those board of managers were pulling coattails in the back room saying you are about to jeopardize any chance of a bond with the way that you're handling this particular position, because that's the issue with Mike Miles. He looks at what's in front of his nose and has a very hard time seeing the bigger picture beyond what's going to happen in the future. I think he all put the complete kibosh on any kind of bond with this last performance at the board meeting. I can tell you right now, we have never been in a place where we refuse to support a bond, because we understand deeply and profoundly the environment that our school employees and our students come to school in every day. Buildings that are hundreds, 100 years old or more, full of mold, this and that and other, but we also have experienced a lack of deep accountability and oversight, proper oversight by elected boards and by others, where buildings that we spend millions of dollars on, teachers walk into having nothing but mold because the pipes are leaking, you know, because we did substandard. Putting those things together, I don't think that the education community would be able to support a bond at this point.
That's a hard one, right? I'm going to skip the musical break, but you're listening to Amplified Houston on KPFT 90.1. We're talking public education in Houston with Zeph Capo, who's with American Federation of Teachers, and Ms. Jackie Anderson, who's with the Houston Federation of Teachers. I want to talk, there's so many things that I want to talk about, but before we left, I wanted to talk about vouchers. And Zeph, you're looking at the whole state these days. And, you know, we had a good battle for many years. As you know, Children at Risk was in the middle of this battle to make sure, to really present the evidence that vouchers could not work in Texas, right? That it was really taking away money from places that, from public education. There are those that argue that vouchers will be part of public education, but we know that those are dollars going to private education. But with the most recent primary, what we saw is all those moderate and many cases conservative Republicans who knew that the largest employer in their rural community was a public school, they were against vouchers. Many of those have gone down in defeat. It's not a done deal yet, but the math is not looking right. What is it going to mean for us if indeed we begin to have vouchers in the state of Texas, Zev?
So first and foremost, we know that the road for vouchers in Texas is likely to take money from urban and rural districts and provide tax breaks for suburban families that want to send their kids to private schools. That being said, we know that this is a national movement. Even in Democratic states like New Jersey, you see vouchers being introduced. This is about a fundamental move to shift the way that that equalizer that you talked about when we opened the show, to make sure that there is a permanent underclass in our country. That is the kind of devastation that's going to happen here, and hopefully, like in those rural communities, I hope they wake up. I hope they see, because there was a lot of people that didn't vote, and almost every one of those ads that were paid by the multi-millions of dollars, they weren't talking about public education. They weren't talking about vouchers. They were scaring people about the border. They were basically lying about votes that those representatives had taken or not taken that had nothing to do with public education. When many of these people look up and find out that their schools no longer have the resources to keep the lights on, it may spark a reckoning and a power shift in this state. And that's part of what we've got to work towards, because our kids' futures are at stake.
Wow. Ms. Jackie, a final word. We just have a minute left in the program, but final word on where you see things happening in Houston, really with lack of funding, with the state takeover, with the threat of vouchers. Is there anything bright in our future, Jackie?
Yeah, the one bright thing for me and most teachers is we come to work for our students, and we're going to do the very best we can each and every day, despite the obstacles we face.
Yeah, that's all we could ask for, right?
That's right. Student success is the bright spot for us.
The good news is that you have people like Zeph and Ms. Jackie and all the team over at Children at Risk continuing to work on behalf of children to make sure that we have a strong public education system in the state. But we do need the support, and we need people to vote. I mean, we still don't have enough people in this state voting, which is a big deal. Listen, on behalf of all the nonprofits that support Amplified Houston, being the Baker Ripley, the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Houston, the Houston Food Bank, and YMCA, I'm Bob Sanborn with Children at Risk. We'll see you next time on Amplified Houston here on KPFT Pacifica Radio.
All right, you guys are clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Zeph. Thank you, Ms. Jackie, very much. Bye-bye. Bye.